So I'm going to read to you Psalm 98, and it's the basis for the first song that we'll sing together in a few moments' time. Just going to meditate on this psalm this evening. So Psalm 98, they have various titles, but this one is very simply entitled a psalm. Psalm 98, O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. The Lord has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. This psalm reminds us to sing a new song to the Lord. Now, if you've been a Christian any length of time, this might be a cause for us to smile at ourselves, because churches often go to extremes, don't they? There'll be some churches where there's nothing but new songs being sung. Everything's got to be written in the last sort of 12 to 24 months or it's old. And then there's the other extreme where we have to have the oldest possible hymn books and everything has to be there now and we have to have everything that's old. And well, I'm sure I've said this before, but it's good to have that balance, isn't it? But I'm not sure whether this psalm in verse 1 is just talking about our culture as worshipping believers. Sing to the Lord a new song. There's this sense that God's love is new every morning to us. He gives us new breath and new life moment by moment and day by day. So he's worthy of a new song, a renewed song. So that's not necessarily saying whether it's an old or a new song, but it's new every time you sing it. It reminds us in our devotions to keep things fresh. I'd really encourage you actually to have some sort of hymn book handy at home. You might like to sing from it at home if you've got a good voice, and it doesn't matter whether you don't have to be professional. Singing on your own to the Lord can be a wonderful way of worshipping him in your own devotions. But you don't have to sing out loud if you don't feel so comfortable doing that. But reading hymns actually it means you're benefiting from others' devotion. You know, those who've been able to write hymns, they can stir your heart to pray. So sing to the Lord a new song. Let there be a song in your heart day by day. We thought this morning in the book of Micah how the Lord was reminding his people, have you forgotten all the things that I've done for you? Well, singing hymns or even reading hymns can help remind us of all the things that God has done for us. So in that sense, there's a new song. Maybe a song you've sung many times, but it's new in our hearts and we're recognising, Lord, I want to bring you my worship today. I want to thank you today. I want to rejoice in you today for your great goodness. And as well, we live in an age where we do have lots of hymns, both old and new. And they've all been written by different people, men and women. And we're so indebted to them and to the Lord for giving us those hymns. So in giving thanks to God for all his goodness, let's not forget the goodness of God in giving us hymn writers and hymns to sing to him, and also especially the sacred songs of the Psalms. God has given us these songs to help us to worship him, to help us not to forget, to help us to remember all his love and his kindness to us. Reminded us this morning in Micah 6 verse 8, he has told you, O Lord, what is he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And another of the prophets, Jonah, reminds us that salvation is of the Lord. And so we just want to give back to him the praise for all that he has done for us. There's nothing ordinary about our God and what he has done. And it's good to just meditate on these things. It says in Psalm 98, verse 3, he has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Well, we praise God for the progress of the gospel, and we long for the extension of God's kingdom and the praise of his name. That word, those words, steadfast love in verse 3. I have a Bible tool. It's a free one. Anyone can have it. It's called the Step Bible. And if you're trying to trace a Bible word, you can do it. So you can go on the Step Bible. You'll all be looking it up afterwards. I encourage you to do so. And you can follow a Bible word. And sometimes when you're reading the Bible, you think, oh, I've seen that word or I've seen that phrase. I wonder where it occurs and how frequently it occurs. So this afternoon, I was just really prompted to have a closer look at the word that's translated steadfast love. And you might have come across it before. It's a really special Bible word. In the Hebrew, it's chesed. You have to have that sort of Scottish twang. If you can say the word loch, you can say chesed. If you can't say loch like a Scotsman, you might struggle. But it's a Hebrew word, chesed. And it's often translated steadfast love. It's also loyalty or kindness. In fact, we had it this morning. To love kindness. That's chesed. And I printed off a number of sheets of paper that showed this verse going through the Old Testament. And it's only fairly small font, but I printed off 14 pages of different verses where this word occurs. It's a big Bible word. It's one of the ways that God reveals his character. He shows this steadfast love. It means you can count on him. He doesn't break his promises. He is the most loyal. He does what he says. He keeps his word. You can trust him. And it's just so wonderful to know his steadfast love. It reminds us God is not doing sort of transactions with his people, saying here's some mercy, here's some grace, which he holds out at arm's length. No, he wraps his people up in his arms like the shepherd gathers his lambs. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. Even in the times where God's people think, has God remembered us? Does he see what we're going through? And again, even though God's people have to wait to see the fulfillment of his promise, he never fails. Even in those 400 years between the last of the prophets and John the Baptist standing up to say, look, he's here, the Messiah's here, God did not forget his promise. And so this word translated steadfast love or kindness or loyalty, look out for it in the Old Testament. It speaks of the character of our God. Now, if you're a Christian here this evening and you've been round the block a few times, going on perhaps many years with the Lord Jesus, there are probably many instances of his steadfast love to you. I just encourage you, just for a few moments of quiet, just give thanks to him for his steadfast love to you. Just bow your heads and pray in quiet. Dear Father in heaven, we're reminded of a destitute and helpless woman in the stories in Genesis, Hagar. And she called out to you and she was able to say, you are a God who sees. Thou God seest me. You notice, you hear the cry of the desperate who calls upon your name. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, each one of us who has known what it is to feel the utter desolation and desperation of our own sinfulness, our own distance from you. We've come to the end of ourselves. We heard that word of the law, the soul that sins shall die. And then we heard the word of the gospel. There he is on the cross, the Lord Jesus, dying for our sins, washing us clean. Thank you for hearing that cry. Thank you for each example of new birth that is here this evening. Thank you, Father, for the many other occasions where we've called upon your name with some pressing problem or something that was just too hard for us. And you helped us through seemingly impossible situations. And in you we put our trust that you will continue to deliver us. On you we have set our hope. Lord, your work is truly marvellous, as your word says. And we thank you that the mystery that the prophets pointed to is fully revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that both Jew and Gentile can be saved through him. And you are gathering your people together from every tongue and tribe and nation. So we want to say thank you for the cross. Thank you for hearing our cries. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a psalm that contains a repeated phrase in the middle. It says in verse 4, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. And then again at the end of verse 6, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let's think about that for a moment. I mean, again, we try not to take ourselves too seriously as Christians. You know, we're not professionals. I know there are some churches, maybe the ones that you see on YouTube, that maybe they've managed to develop an enormous sort of professional music team who are in Monday to Friday and everything, and then there's a choir and it seems all professional, and that's great. It can serve the church in many ways. We do our very best, both in singing and in playing instruments. We want to give the Lord the very best. But in one sense, you know, we want to be like Keith Green once said, a Christian is bananas for Jesus. We don't mind looking a little bit crazy in the eyes of the world. We love our Saviour. We want to make a joyful noise to his name. It reminds us again, as we thought this morning, worshipping God is not some sort of performance or act that we put on once a week. It's the overflow of our hearts from a life that is lived for him day by day and year by year. So if there's a joyful noise from our hearts that really means something, then it's accompanied by, in a sense, a joyful noise with our lives. We want to live a life of love in Christ so that people can taste something of his love and kindness in our lives. We want to make some noise for him together with our worship to Christ. We want to live a life of love in Christ, and we want to speak words of loving witness for Christ. But the amazing thing, that these things all work together. We can't do one without the other. How can we go out into the world to witness for Christ without the encouragement, the weekly encouragement of a Sunday? Maybe that's a reminder to those of us who are able to come to the services regularly to think, I wonder who can't come. I wonder who's struggling. I wonder who maybe has stayed at home when just because they felt too discouraged. And so we want to encourage one another as believers. Come together for this act of worship, because it helps you with your life of worship day by day and week by week. We want our lives, our words, our hearts all to be united in this joyful noise. We want other Christians to hear so that they're encouraged. We want the world to hear for witness. And we want heaven to hear. We want our God to receive the praise and the glory that's due to his name. But as we thought this morning, God doesn't want anything that's outward show. He wants our lives. He wants our hearts. That's not only for his glory, but it's also for our joy. He wants us to enjoy a real relationship with the living God. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Reminded as well that we have this variety of instruments that we can play. And I've been to part of a number of different church congregations down through the years, and we've had a variety of instruments. I think pretty much each church has had a piano. Some of them have had organs. There was a time at Batley where our main instrument was a trombone, and that was our accompaniment. That was sort of unusual, but it was special as well, because that's what we had And that's what we used to praise our God. I can remember as well as sort of drums or cajon, we've had a triangle. Someone actually played the triangle as part of the percussion. And again, it was sort of, it made us smile at first. We realised it was just part of the percussion and part of the way that we wanted to praise our God. We've got, you know, guitar and flute and clarinet. And we've got our voices. Don't ever forget the blessing of using our voices as instruments to praise our God. In the Psalms, you've got the lyre and the harp and different things, but we have instruments and we have our own bodies to be used for the praise and the glory of God. May our whole lives be, as it were, an instrument played to the praise of God and to as a witness to the world of what He has done for us. Before we sing our last couple of songs, just look at the last three verses of the psalm. They take us to the final day, and yet they take us there with joy. It says, "Let the sea roar, and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness, and the peoples with equity." I'm always arrested by these psalms when they speak of the day of judgment with joy. There is this sense that creation is groaning and God's people are groaning, saying, "Lord, enough of this world's ways, enough of this world's wickedness. Lord, we pray for You to call time." And yet we know that if He hadn't been patient unto us, we would never have called upon His name. So we're so grateful to the Lord for His patience. And we pray, "Lord, keep on saving, keep on adding to Your church." And yet, creation, according to this psalm, celebrates when God comes to judge the earth and redeem creation and set everything to rights. It reminds us, as we praise our God, to invest our lives not in what is passing, but in what is eternal. This world offers us so many things that we can just throw our whole lives into, projects and pleasures. We can so easily spend our lives and spend our days and our years, and before we know it, they're gone. And the scriptures are challenging us day by day, week by week, to invest our lives in eternity. "Let me not live for the world's treasures, but let me live to treasure Christ and to treasure others for the sake of eternity and for the sake of their souls and for the sake of the glory of our God." The hills and the trees and the rivers clapping their hands, praising God. Well, may this joyful noise that we seek to make to Him in our lives by the power of His Spirit, in the name of Jesus, may this bring glory to God and blessing to those around us.